Today's scripture reading is John 3, 1 through 17. It's located on the back of your bulletin if you want to read along. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." And Jesus replied, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." "How can someone be born when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." This is the word of God for the people of God.
So Pentecost, the season of Pentecost, is the season in which we talk about the Holy Spirit. I clipped a cartoon out from the paper, a woman and her husband out to lunch after church. The woman saying to her husband, "I was just fine until you stood up in service and testified that golf was one of your spiritual gifts." So, just a little good humor. We hope that we use our spiritual gifts everywhere we go, and in fact, we might use them out on the golf course. And certainly, it's a blessing to be able to enjoy creation that way, isn't it? Well, the Trinity is a mystery. The best mysteries are those ones that we get drawn into, aren't they? Jay came home this last week, and one of the first things he did was introduce us to a BBC series called Sherlock. Has anyone been watching Sherlock at all? Yeah, okay, great mystery, isn't it? It's really a terrifically done BBC, kind of a contemporary, updated version of Sherlock Holmes, following clues and getting caught in traps, trying to solve the mystery that they're engaged in. Well, the best mystery that we can engage in is the one that we are in the presence of right here today in this sanctuary. The best that we can get from Scripture are clues that help us to piece together part of this vast, vast mystery that we call God. And on today, on Trinity Sunday, the mystery, I think, becomes even more intriguing. John's Gospel gives the most direct clues about Jesus, about God. Jesus is described straightforward. He's the bread of life. He's the good shepherd. He is the vine. He is the light of the world, right? Over and over again in John's Gospel, they name him. We also gather clues about Jesus by the way that he is described engaging with people in scriptures. Now, most of the high-profile stories of Jesus are the stories about him engaging with outsiders and the outcast, right? The women, the lame, the deaf, right? That's who Jesus is usually relating to. We'll get it here in the third chapter in John. Jesus is engaged with an insider. Nicodemus is a Pharisee. He is a member of the Jewish ruling council. He is an insider, and Jesus is talking with him. This is an important story for us, my friends. This is a story for the church. This is written for those who are inside the church. Now, here is Nicodemus kind of arguing with Jesus, saying, well, you know, we fall into the life of God because we're born into a lineage. We're born under the name of Abraham. We're in a lineage. We are in a long line. It's the people who live in that lineage that are the chosen people of God. Clearly, Nicodemus is one of those who is a rule follower. He wants to find out exactly what he needs to do to execute his faith by following the rules. Well, many of us are like Nicodemus today, too. We want to know that we can follow a given set of rules, certain principles, so that we too can find the peace and the presence of God. We want to know exactly what it is we need to do to be faithful. We want our faith journey to be logical and to lead us into ways of further peace, security, and love. We want to be comfortable trusting God, right? Yes, am I right? Well, I mean, why are you here? We want to have an understanding of what's the next step for us. What's the logical thing that we are to do? Well, this Trinity Sunday, I invite you into a deeper mystery of God. Not to ask for logic and security, but to ask for a depth of relationship with Christ that will give you treasure when you're not expecting it. Maybe even when you're making mistakes. Maybe even when you find yourselves in sin. Maybe not even being aware of the treasure until much later. I invite you to join in that, engage in that mystery that is God. You know, it's been speculated that perhaps Nicodemus didn't want the religious officials to know that he was even talking to Jesus, that he had questions for Jesus. You know, he's asking him, I can imagine, you know, what about these signs? How was it that you turned the water into wine anyway? Can you imagine him asking those questions? Nicodemus was trying to gather more information about the mystery, yet he called Jesus Rabbi, and so he certainly understood that Jesus would be someone that he could learn from. He wound up as a Pharisee. You know, the Pharisees were the biggest opponents of Jesus, and it was the Jewish ruling council which sent Jesus to his crucifixion. So he was part of that group. But at the same time, he is looking to Jesus for teaching. He surely felt he had something to learn. And it's here in the night that Nicodemus goes. And he got really confused when Jesus said to him, you know what? It is not the lineage of Abraham that's going to get you there. It is not being born as a Hebrew person that is going to get you there. He says you must be born from above. Now, the Greek word for that is anothen. Anothen. Say that. Anothen. Born from above. To be born from above. That this means that we are born from something beyond and outside of ourselves. Jesus reflected back on scripture that Nicodemus would have been very familiar with, and we are too, because we read it last week, the story of the snake, that just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert and others, the community was healed, that the saving grace of God was initiated when Moses lifted the serpent in the desert. Jesus says, so too will I be lifted up and save all who believe in me. I will initiate grace. I will initiate eternal life in our world. So Jesus told Nicodemus, he said, you know, your heritage is important, but it is essential that you be born from above, born into a spiritual realm, born through the water. That is being born of God's grace. Jesus told Nicodemus that the spirit was kind of like the wind, and it goes where it chooses, right? And you can't see where it's going, and it's probably going to flow to the least point of resistance. So that's probably why it hit all the outcasts. The outcasts weren't resistant at all to Jesus. It was the Pharisees that were resistant. So the Spirit moves to where there's the least amount of resistance. It's unpredictable. It's illogical. It's completely free. Completely free. And it is a total mystery. That Nicodemus went to visit Jesus in the night, you know, darkness, John's gospel's full of symbolism, and darkness was a symbolism, maybe symbolic, that even Nicodemus, a man of faith, was having an experience in which there was an absence of God in his life. He comes forward in the night to visit with Jesus. Perhaps Nicodemus even might have represented an entire community of people that had lost their way with God. John's gospel was written at the time when the synagogue had divorced the church. Okay, so no longer were the Christians worshiping in the synagogue. There had been a separation. Imagine how painful that is when people who have grown together in faith, grown together in understanding, and separated because of Christ. I would imagine that the synagogue would have had as many questions for Jesus as the church. And I think that's how it is today. For every unbelieving person out there, there are many questions about God, right? Are we a church that is open to those questions? Are we open to how another might ask questions about God? Are we open to the mystery of God? Are we open to what is unpredictable and illogical? Because here's the thing. Our questions draw us into a mystery that is God. Our questions are an important part of building relationship with God. Like Nicodemus, we too want to wrap our brains around Jesus' teachings. We want to understand. We want to be knowledgeable about God. We want to follow the ways of Jesus. And in many ways, this strengthens our faith journey. But the journey begins in the Spirit. The journey begins in being born from above, not in our intellects, but in our souls. Be encouraged by this. Nicodemus was a man of faith who was struggling and was questioning. Relationships grow in the absence as much, and maybe if not more, than in the presence. And so it is with God. There's a Christian writer today, Madeline Engel, and she uses the term spiritual flu. That sometimes she suffers attacks of spiritual flu, times when she experiences God's absence. And when it's over, she writes that the grace of God just floods her soul and she begins to believe again. This is the mystery. This is the mystery. That God creates, that God blesses, God redeems, God nurtures and sustains and protects and preserves and invites us to be part of redeeming all of creation. We get invited to be part of living in the life of God. We are called into the life of the triune God. We are invited in, not because God needs us, but because God wants to pour out love upon everything. There are the Father, and He pours His love into the Son, pours all of His being into the Son, and the Son returns that total love, pours it out. The Holy Spirit is that energy and the bond of their love together. It's the passion. Creation is an overflowing of this love. Creation is an overflowing of the love of God that exists in the Trinity. The overflowing of God's desire to share life and love and joy. So we are called into this triune life because of God's overflowing gift of love into all of life. God's love is so vast, so vast. So look again at the icon of the Trinity and find your place at that table. It's here today at the Lord's table that we are invited, all are invited, to encounter and engage in the mystery that is the real presence of Christ, the real presence of love, the real presence of God here today.